of serenity and courage. It is not just the narrated books. It is impossible to learn from a good narrated book when we are threatened by major trouble. Though narrated books can take away aches and pains and help with sleep and minor fears, this is just one of the minor benefits, as great books are meant for wisdom and greatness. This is why walking great adventure trails, or even camping in a tiny wilderness for a good while, is a key component of the act of inheritance of wisdom from narrated books. You need to make room far and away from stress. Room in all the places where greatness resides. Greatness of spirit or soul, greatness of heart, and greatness of mind and vision and thought and invention. And this is more important than you can imagine. Right past the early reading, writing, and arithmetic schools stop working. They do not teach beyond the basics. The education that we do get is purely out of our own brilliance. Subject divisions are completely wrong, as they render everything as useless and boring and meaningless. Subject divisions really exist purely for bookkeeping and the damn teachers. To give an example, one fun way to learn math is to learn programming first, and then build screensavers, or generative art installations, or computer games. Such a thing is but one step away from launching a business as well, making something more out of it than just a lesson, even if just for pocket change. Just teaching math is batshit crazy. It shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the human condition. Perhaps a little penchant for becoming a slaver, even. The lectures can't work. They only sell the students out for paychecks and make the teachers look like morons. The GPA, or the grade point average, is one other major problem, because the students believe that it will stick around and can influence their future. They give up real education in favor of pretending to learn and keep that GPA up. This means cramming, which is just temporary memorization. It is theatrical performance. You can't do both. You can't cram and then learn for real on your own. It's either one or the other. Students are aware that they have been betrayed. They just don't even want to learn for real until after they are out of the whole GPA threat. The GPA is not the worst of it, of course. Being held back for a young person is as good as a prison sentence. Very often people who are being bullied simply can't afford to memorize. So first, they notice the teachers ignore the bullies, and then the same teachers hold them back a year, permanently painting them as inferior. Meanwhile, their bullies just laugh and memorize. This betrayal pushes some students into drug use, for some to ease anxiety, for others to cut out the distraction. I repeat, schools don't work and teachers turn themselves into clowns. Now, there is another problem here, and this deals with how they are treated at home and whether or not they have a safe place that they can learn by buying mountains of stupid, useless gadgets that they will only use once, just to get the idea. If they come home and use the smartphone to doom scroll in hopes of alleviating their depression, then you betrayed them too. They won't say anything, because largely, one home is all they know. It may seem outrageous and ridiculous to them that they need a little laboratory with computers and maybe even tutors. You can see what a terrible injustice this is. Schools betray them, bullies attack them, they come home and get yelled at for bad grades, and maybe even have their phone taken away so that they can't even tune out their sadness. Betrayed by all. They are supposed to be exploring, traveling, learning, living in a kind of serenity that makes books call out to them, that makes the presence of a computer transform into a question of learning programming. 10 print hello world, 20 go to 10. If they learn programming, which is extremely easy, they will never have to fear poverty. But again, they are being cut off from this by being attacked and forced directly into poverty and then mind-numbing jobs. And if they say that this is unfair, then one clown or another will waddle their way and jowls trembling pronounce that life isn't fair. I don't think that the words morons and clowns cover the phenomenon that these kids are seeing. I think it's a lot worse. And certainly, they are a lot smarter than you think. All the future generations are smarter than the previous. I actually vividly remember my music teacher giving me a bad grade, as always, and me coming up to her and saying that it's unfair to give me that grade. And she looked at me, no, she looked down at me and slowly murmured, "Life isn't fair." This is a memory of someone that has betrayed classroom after classroom, because all she knew is how to play the piano a little bit. And she could have changed all the lives that she touched. She could have taught us how to use a beat sequencer, how to use a DJ deck, taught us something that actually fits in the 45 minutes that we have there, and then practice it over and over for the rest of the semester. Actual finger practice on a piano is something that is extremely elitist and belongs to people who want to do it, who want to excel at it. Learning music theory is the same gosh darn thing, though it is sacred, because it allows your music to communicate with every other composer or symphony. But these are side things. Music composition is simple, it's beautiful, and every one of us can compose great music. But she just chose to ignore it all, to never think about it. And then every once in a while, when she had a bad day and didn't feel like moving her pen, she just muttered off, Life isn't fair.
Nice.
Adventure trails, backpacking, and camping are the perfect detox to these batshit crazy morons. And in fact, serve as a model for a healthier existence. But these adventures, oh my gosh, they have to be frequent. Not Peace Corps, maybe. Not every year, thanks, Dad. Not just holidays. Oh my God, I can't wait for another 2 days off. But longer and more frequent. You will be on the right path if your children start wondering if you are perhaps hoping to abandon them in a freaking wilderness. Or worse yet, the goddamned Europe or something, which you should also visit frequently. It's very close, it's beautiful and full of museums.
Remember the reason. It is not travel as a rule. You can't force a student into travel. That's just as crazy as what the others are doing. The reason is to bring them the serenity, which is a prerequisite to learning for real. You are healing them, helping them learn for real, for life. From magnificent books written by humanity's greatest beings. The alternative to serenity is courage. Brené Brown says cur actually means heart, and that the word symbolizes wholeheartedness. But asking a student to rise that early on, to rise against odds, bullies, corruption, half-assed, half-measures, recruiters, be it job or military, teachers, and their own parents, will make them alone, will put them into perfect isolation. They will be forced to learn life by helping other people, who in return will think of them as fucking weirdos.
No alcohol, no drugs, no hookups, no fuckups, no regrets, just wisdom, dignity, and perpetual isolation. Weirdo.
Asking a young person for courage is a really terrible way to raise a great being. Take your kids shopping, electronics and solar batteries first, and then backpacks and all the expensive crap that goes in them. Set them free from the stress of this enormous betrayal. Grant them the serenity they need to become great beings, and fix all this.